God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You are carnal and walk in the flesh. What does it mean? It means that you draw spiritual conclusions by a fleshly motivation. You determine that if anybody else stands in the pulpit, that they don't have my anointing to preach as good as me. That's like comparing a Wendy's hamburger to a Burger King hamburger. It's all beef. It's just in the preparation. But it's all the same. How do we determine what's best? Who is best? When I was eating that stuff, I used to get a Wendy's burger and McDonald's fries. Because I said nobody had fries like McDonald's. That was back when I was eating that fast food stuff. See, I justified it by saying McDonald's fries were better, so that's why I'll go there. So I would drive over, get my Wendy's burger, and then drive over and get my McDonald's fries. But it's all a matter of subjection. How do you know what a good preacher is? Is it the one that makes you move? Is it the one that makes you pat your feet? The one that makes you stand up and scream? How do you know who's effective? Paul said, you're immature and you're drawing spiritual conclusions based on the flesh. That is the act of a baby. A baby says, I'm not coming to church unless pastor is preaching, because God called me to pastor. Well, if God calls you to pastor, he better have me live longer than you. I can't die or you backslide. God calls us to Christ. And then Christ gives us what we need. My God. Lord, don't listen. Listen. How do you know if the doctor's good? By the results. By the results. Are they able to evaluate the problem? Are they able to treat the problem? And ultimately, do I get better? The woman with the issue of blood, the testimony of Mark was she went from doctor to doctor and grew worse. If the word of God preached by the vessel of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit enables me to grow and begin to deal with spiritual issues from a position of maturity, then that's who I sit under. We use the arrogant statement, just anybody can't feed my soul. We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about Holy Ghost-filled people. Because Jesus said, with the same judgment that you give others, you better watch, people are going to judge you. So every time you get up to teach, they're going to say, no, you can't feed me. You can't feed me. Amen. I can honestly tell you that in the 20 years that I've been a Christian, I'm telling you right now that I have not said unto anybody that couldn't feed me something. Some people give me ice cream. Some give me okra. But everybody gives me something. I have not walked out of a church service and said, they ain't say nothing. No, even if it's showing me what not to do, I learned something. So what are we talking about? We're talking about growing up. And Bethel, as a part of the body of Christ, we have to grow up. We continue to fight with the same things that have plagued us as children. I remember as a child, we would go on bus trips, and the teachers would sit you in classes on alphabetical order. And every time the person nearest me in name, I didn't like them, so I would scoot over in the chair so my leg didn't touch their leg. Even if it meant that I had to sit on the edge just so I could turn away, because that was showing them that I didn't like them. That was childish. They were still comfortable and had most of the seat. I was hurting myself. Every time you go to hurt somebody else as a child, you begin to realize as an adult that you're not hurting them. So what? There are people, I don't speak to them. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't tell me to speak to them. You're not hurting them. They're still coming to church. You're only hurting you. Get over all that stuff. Realize that there's no thorn in your garden that God did not enable to grow. There's no rain cloud in your life that he did not blow in over you. Rejoice through bad things. And when good things come, you'll already be in the rejoice mode. You don't have to work it up because you've learned the secret of praise during dark times. Tell your neighbor, time to grow up. Paul said, I couldn't give you deep stuff. I couldn't give you the things that are necessary for growth. He said, why? Because you were immature and weren't able to deal with them. You couldn't deal with the basic concept of the kingdom and love. We think that when we hear the kingdom, immediately we start thinking about ways to get money. That is not the principle of the kingdom. The principle of the kingdom is forgiveness. The principle of the kingdom is love. For when Jesus again was queried by the young scribe who said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus didn't say tithe. Jesus didn't say offerings. Jesus said love. He said love your neighbor and love God. In fact, later on he says you can't love God until you love your neighbor. It is impossible for you to give God your love and hate me. Because you serve God by how you serve me. You don't isolate God and say, God, I got all the love in the world for you, but I can't stand everybody in this section. God says, well, you don't love me because there's no one that I do not love. You cannot say that God is love and say that he hates the devil. You say, well, how in the world can God love the devil? The devil has made God his enemy. Think about it. God is all powerful. He could just kill him. Now, I'm aware that you can't kill spiritual things, but God can kill him because he's God. He'll just come up with a new way to kill him. But he lets him live. You know why? Because he's a tool to make us stronger. God can use the devil to do for us what's necessary. Amen. Lord. This is why Jesus didn't worry about the devil. The devil couldn't stop him when he came to him in Matthew 4. If you be the Son of God, command the stones be turned to bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out the mouth of God. Satan took him up to a high pinnacle of the temple and said, now jump off. He said, jump off, because it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. Jesus said, nope, you don't tempt God. Then he came back, the Bible said, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world that he was going to get later anyway. He was trying to show it to him and say, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. This shows you the stupidity of our enemy. He is promising Jesus something that he's going to get later on. That's why Jesus could resist him. Saints of God, the reason you should be able to resist the devil is because you're going to get all that stuff later on. You're going to be glorified. You're going to get a new body. You're going to have unlimited resources. You're going to have eternal life. What can the devil give you for a short time that God hasn't promised you for eternity? Come on, I want God to give me a husband. I want God to give me a wife because I'm lonely. Bye, dog. We used to have a saying in the Marine Corps. They said when they gave us all our basic equipment, the instructor said, if you look in that, they called him a sea bag. He said, if you look in that sea bag, you'll see you have clothes, underwear, personal toiletries, two pairs of boots, a pair of running shoes. He went down the whole list of everything in there. He said, the one thing you don't see in there is a girlfriend. He said, if the Corps thought you needed a girlfriend, they would have issued you one when they brought you in here. He said, but they need to keep your mind on this other stuff so you can become what they want you to become. Don't you know that when God withholds things from you, it's so you can have singleness of mind and be dedicated to him? Now, you keep going around the services fishing for a prophet to promise you a spouse. And you keep fishing, you're going to get one. But instead of waiting for a whitewater salmon, You're going to mess around and get a catfish from Mississippi. Now, catfish, they hang on the bottom. They have no upward trajectory. Salmon jump out the water. They have purpose. Lord, help me. Do you want a fish that swims on the bottom and has no upward trajectory, doesn't desire to do anything but mess around in the mud, and the only thing they're good for is grits? Or do you want an Alaskan salmon that fought its way through all types of difficulties so it can get back to the water and spawn? Lord, have mercy. That says that God has placed something in you, and you have to be willing to fight through the devil's adversity. You have to fight through the flesh, fight through things so you can reach that place to reproduce, to be what God wants you to be. Don't be a baby waiting around, waiting around, waiting around. Grow up. Grow up. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter. See, there's too many whining people in church looking for stuff. Children, they look for stuff all the time. Come on, go to the store with me. What you gonna buy me? That's a child. An adult, come go to the store with me. Okay, I'm just happy to spend time with you. Children, what are you going to buy me? Take a child on the Toys R Us. You can't keep them still. They up and down every aisle looking for the reason you brought them in. Even though you came in to buy something for a nephew or a niece or somebody else's party, they're still going to make sure they walk out with something. And that's how we are. I would hazard a guess that 90% of us came in here to receive something from God. And the other 10% came in to find out what God wanted them to do. It is highly possible that God sent you in here and set you next to someone so you could bless them, not so you could get a blessing, but so you could be one. The mature Christian stops looking for God to do for them. The mature Christian says, Lord, here I am. Send me. I don't know what it is you want me to do, but you woke me up this morning. And since God is spiritually capitalistic, it's interesting. He's capitalistic as it relates to him, but he's socialistic as it relates to us. He tells us to take care of each other. He tells us to give one to another. He tells us to put our funds together and establish a common fund. He tells us to practice socialism amongst ourselves. But when it comes to him, God doesn't do anything that does not bring him glory. God will not take you through anything that he can't get the glory out of it. God will not give you anything that you will not give him glory once you receive it. Even trouble. This is the distinction between babies and mature Christians. Mature Christians will give God glory when they're going through bad times. That's why God don't mind you having a bad time. He knows he's going to be lifted when that thing comes. Lord, I wish I had somebody who could understand. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shout out, O.C. Katabashi. How much I had. Glory to God. See, let me put it to you like this. God is up here, and everything he has is up here. None of the blessings of God fall on you. The Bible says they overtake you. That means you have to come up to the level so it can overtake you. While you stay down there whining and moping and crying because somebody talked about you or the usher was nasty. I don't understand, the usher was nasty today. Did you come to church for the usher? You ever run into nasty people in stores? Do you leave the store? You just say, can I have somebody else? And this is, let me tell you something. Success is the greatest form of revenge. But if you want to get a nasty salesperson back, here's how you do it. Buy more and let somebody else get the credit. That's right. And then walk past the nasty one and said, see, you would have got this bonus had you been nice to me. See, because first of all, they think you coming in there, you don't have no money. How about those people in Paris that didn't sell Oprah that purse, talking about they didn't think she could afford it? Now, had I been Oprah, I would have bought the store. And I would have fired the person. I would have called her into the office and said, oh, come on in for a moment. They said, oh, the boss told me you wanted to see me. Oh, oui, entrez-vous. And when they come in and say, you fired. How you going to fire me? What did I do to you? Take a good look at my face. I'm the one you told couldn't come in. That's the way you approach the devil. When the devil tells you that you can't be blessed, this is not going to come to you, you just shut up. Don't say nothing until you get through it. When you get on the other side, say, hey, devil, hey, take a look. I'm the one that you said would not make it. I'm the one that you said was going to backslide. Well, here it is 10 years later, and I'm still here. I'm no baby. Yeah, we hurt. Yeah, things happen. But you don't give up on Jesus. You don't walk out on him. You don't forsake that covenant that he has entered into with you. You get stronger by getting closer. You get stronger by connecting more with him. Peter tries to tell us something. In 1 Peter, he's writing to the Christians that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He calls them the elect according to the prognosis of God, the foreknowledge, the King James says. But it's really prognosku. It means that God made a decision based on what he saw. It's like the doctor who reads your test results and then they tell you, this is my prognosis. This is what's going to happen to you. And the Lord always told me, he said, you tell my people they can accept the diagnosis but not the prognosis. The test can say a certain thing has invaded your body, but it doesn't have to stay. And you don't have to die when the doctor says you're going to die. Last week, the Lord was challenging me, and I wanted to bring it to you, but I'm going to take it to the church in Coatesville. But I wanted to bring it to you, but I'm going to give you a little highlight of it now. And see, this is what God taught me. He said, who told you that when you reach 40, that your body was supposed to fall apart? He said, who told you that? See, because he knows I'm getting close to 40. So he said, who told you that? I said, well, Lord, you know, he said, my people have accepted what the evil one says and not what I say. Who told you that the effects of your childhood abuse should carry over into your new life? 2 Corinthians 5 said you're a new creature. You see what I'm saying? As you grow in Christ, you learn that the devil meant that for evil. Lord, I wish I had somebody. Woo! My. Watch. Moses was born to a Jewish house, but she put him on the water, and he was rescued by Pharaoh's sister. And so when this happens, are you with me? When that happened, he was divorced, if you will, from his heritage. He didn't have the luxury of mama tucking him in permanently. She was able to wean him. God fixed it so she could wean him for a little while. But he had to go back to a strange place. But when you understand that if God is ordering your steps, wherever you wind up, God knows where you are. He's not going to lose sight of you simply because you're in a foreign situation. What the devil meant to do to you as a child, instead of you moaning about it, rejoice that he couldn't kill you. And now you're here as a full-grown child of God, full of the joy of the Lord. Grow up in that. Pastor, none of my brothers and sisters liked me. They put me down and tried to hurt me. Come on, Joseph, tell them something. You don't know what it is to have your siblings not like you. Yours didn't talk to you. Mine threw me in a pit and then sold me into slavery. But God had a plan.
Every time somebody else tries to put you down, you ought to rejoice, because that's God's way of letting you know you're about to hit your castle. Grow up and understand that these light afflictions are but for a moment. Cry if you must. Weeping may endure for the night, but there's a morning coming, and what the enemy tried to throw against you will not stand. Took Daniel and the three boys into captivity. But Daniel said, yeah, you can put me into Babylon, but I ain't by myself. God is with me in Babylon. And God gave him favor. Do you understand? God could have rescued him from Babylon, but he did the next best thing. If God doesn't bring you out of it, he gives you favor in it, so that the people who were your captors are now giving you blessings. Some of you, listen to me, I'm hearing the Lord say this, that some of you are in jobs and you've been praying to get out of that job. God said, I'm about to turn it into favor and you're going to get an increase. Oh, yeah. But there's a caveat. When you get the increase, you've got to tell your supervisor that it was the Lord. You've got to tell sinners that God gave me this job, that the Lord touched your heart. When they come to you and say that I decide, you didn't decide to do nothing. Hitherto hath the Lord helped me, because I believe in the sovereignty of God, and nothing happens that he does not allow. So your life is hid with Christ in God, and when you grow up and let him handle it. The favor of God. God will give you favor. He spoke through Isaiah and said, I'm going to give you double blessing for your trouble. That meant that if you had one night of crying, he's going to give you two nights of rejoicing. You better get up and walk in this thing. You better start believing what God says. He can't lie. Stop settling for the bottom and start reaching for the top. Grow up in your salvation. Recognize no weapon. I love this. No weapon formed. Tell your neighbor, form. He didn't say any weapon that the enemy has. He said no weapon that he's forming. That means what the devil's planning to do to you tomorrow, God has already given you victory today. So that when the tomorrow becomes today, all you got to do is lift your hands and give God praise, because he already fixed it today. I'm the elect. Lord, I wish I had somebody that could shout with me. I'm the elect according to the foreknow. I am the elect. My current situation is no indicator of my future position. You may see me on the bottom right now, but it ain't gonna last. So I'm going to laugh every time you come against me. I'm going to rejoice every time you lie on me. If you look at me cross-eyed, I'm going to bless the Lord. If you try to pull me down, I'm going to dance, because I know my future is not in your hands. It is in the hands of Almighty God. And he promised that he will never let the righteous be forsaken. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. All we got to do is run to it. Run to it. Christian life is a life of attitude. You got to have an attitude. See, when you're passive, the devil can get you. You got to have an attitude. All right, devil, you messed with me for some years, but I learned something. What'd you learn? It was good for me to have been afflicted, for in my affliction, I learned who God is. Now my attitude's different. Now I got joy. I ain't looking to be happy no more. I'm looking to have joy, unspeakable, full of glory in the Holy Ghost. Joy will carry me through. Joy will lift me above my enemies. Joy will help me walk in peace. Joy will cause the devil to bounce off me. Joy will help me rise above circumstances. Joy will get me closer to God. Joy is my strength. I want joy. I'm trying to find a way out. No, don't find a way out. Grow up. Rejoice while you're in it. Say, God, this ain't going nowhere. I love this. Say, God, that person's not going anywhere. You're going to leave them right there. They started out as a thorn in my flesh. I prayed and you didn't move. Go over when you get home. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Paul tells you the same story. He said there was a man that I can't identify who went up to the third heaven. He saw stuff that he could not speak about. And in order to keep him humble, God sent the messenger of Satan to buffet him and make sure he stay humble. He said, I went to God and three times asked him to move it. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, all right, since God won't move it, I'm going to rejoice in it. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. There might be the supervisor from hell in your life. There might be the administrator from Hades in your life. If God didn't move them after you prayed, then rejoice that they're there. Rejoice that they're in your life because God is using them to make you stronger. Don't let the devil ever think he's won. Let him know he lost. He lost on Calvary. He lost in the Garden of Gethsemane. He lost at the tomb of Arimathea. He lost. He lost. He lost when Jesus got up. He lost when Jesus ascended. He lost when Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father. He lost when the Holy Ghost came. He lost when I got saved. He lost when I sit in church. He lost when I pray in my prayer language. He lost when I read the Word of God. He can't win because I'm already a winner. When Peter writes to them, he acknowledges that they're going through. But he says something interesting in verse 9. He says, you greatly rejoice in the calling. You greatly rejoice in the positioning. He said, though now, here's the key phrase, for a season. Tell somebody, for a season. See, here's our problem. Paul writes and says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment. We've turned it into a lifetime. God is telling me to tell you, turn it back to a moment. It's not the situation. It's how you deal with it. And I'm telling you that when the devil brings stuff against you, you got to learn how to rejoice. You got to learn how to give him praise. Unless it's your first trial. If it's your first trial, I can understand you needing somebody to talk to. It's like having your first baby. Your first baby is a nightmare. Pain and anxiety, not knowing when you should go. Your first labor pains are 24 minutes apart. You rush to the hospital because this is your first one and you just want to be careful. But when you get to your second and third, you can have them in the car. And then carry a box cutter to cut the umbilical cord. Because you know it ain't no big deal. All the umbilical cord is just the method that God used to take the waste of the baby through you. So it can come out with you. You know it ain't no big deal. You just cut it. And if after you bite it, you get rid of it. But you can always tell that woman that has had 3 and 4 children ahead of time. You see, their first child gets a helmet when they ride the bike. They get pads for the knees and the arms. That first child, you got the guards all up in the outlets, and you know you're just running behind them. They walk through the supermarket. You got a leash on them, and get back here. Get back here. Don't want nothing to happen to my little boo-boo. Get back here. But by the time you get to your third child, you in the bread line. They way over in the fruit line. And you they say, Mommy, can I go get the fruit? Yeah, go ahead. Just meet us at the front. That meet us at the front. Because you know now that it's not that serious. You let that child ride a bike. They don't have no helmet. They don't have no pads. They don't have nothing. You don't have any of those outlet guards. You just let them stick forks in it and get electrocuted as long as it don't kill them. You buy them lawn darts and stuff that they can kill each other with. Go on outside and play hatchet. Throw the hatchet with your brother. And they just throwing hatchets back and forth. Your first child got Nerf balls that didn't leave a hickey. But by the time you get to the third child, you don't even know their name. I'm the last of three. And when my mother wanted to scold me, she'd start with my sister. Jackie, Gary, boy, you know your name. I was so glad she could forget my name. That means my beating would be deferred. But God said, I wrote your name in my hand, and I ain't never going to forget you. I got billions and trillions of names in my hand, but I'll find you. Brothers and sisters, hear me. God does not respond every time you cry, because he knows you're going to make it. And if you look back in your life, you're seeing that you've already made it. You can see, look where you are right now. Peter, look at Peter. Peter said, woo! He said, you greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice in these positions. Greatly rejoice. I'm a child of God. Shoot, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I rejoice in the fact that I'm a child of God. Though now, for a season, if need be, I love this, if need be, you are heavy because of the test. That suggests that you don't have to be. In other words, nobody needs to know what you're going through. You don't have to wear it when you come in church. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. What's the matter? Nothing. You just want to tell them. You just want to say it. But you want them to keep asking. What's wrong? Nothing. Yes, it is, because you're just not your same bubbly self. No, I'm all right. Just pray. Then if you really felt that way, then put a smile on your face before you come in. Nobody needs to know you going through. I wish to remain in my good mood. I don't need you to pull me down. Do you understand what I said? You have the responsibility to remain in your good mood. When people start off with bad stuff, say, I'll talk to you later. You'll have that same mood when I'm going through. I'll wait and talk to you. No. See, mature Christians, they determine their emotional destiny. If need be, you don't have to fall to pieces because your significant other walked out on you. Now you're down at the altar crying. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. They walked out. They left me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, see, this is where you get therapy. And here's what the real therapist will say, is that you're not upset because they left you. That's not why you're upset. You're upset because their leaving caused you to lower your view of yourself. You thought that you weren't able to keep them. And rather than assess you, you blamed them. I was good to them. Why'd they walk off? That suggests the deficiency is in them, but you take it personally. See, you can use the same language, but just rephrase it. I was good to that clown. Now he gone. See, you don't go, I was good. Why he leave? No, I was good to that clown. Now he left. See what I'm saying? It's just a simple matter of words. You're expressing the same thing, but he gone. Now get on with your life. Come on, I'm just so devastated. I'm just so devastated. Failing to realize God is sitting in heaven saying, I got them out of your life because I saw what they were going to do to you 3 years from now. You were loving them so much that you gave them access to your bank account. Now you know it's love when they got your PIN number. No, it ain't. It's not smart. Now I know you married people saying, I got my wife's PIN number. And my husband, I have his, and he has mine, and we just together. I don't care what Bishop Lambert says, he got my PIN number, and I got his. Hey, different strokes for different folks.
I'm not going to stand here and tell you not to do it. It ain't none of my business. But don't come to me for counseling when he absconds. But everybody starts out loving you. You say, oh, well, we won. We won. There ain't nothing in the Bible that says give them access to your money. Not one scripture for that. Not even one example. Not even one example. Not one. Every time we read about a rich king, we never read about a rich wife. There was no community property. David died and left it all to Solomon. He didn't leave Bathsheba with nothing. What she had, that's why she needed Solomon to get to the throne. So he could keep her in wealth. In Bible times, women didn't get no equal share of the property. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. But Peter says, he says in verse 7, this is the thing you must realize. I need you to change your speech right now. I need you to change your speech. And if you change your speech, victory comes through speech. Peter says something here. He says in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The devil is not trying you. Listen to me carefully. You cannot be tried. You're already saved. What's the point in trying you? He can't take you from God. According to the word of God, nobody can pluck you out of his hand. He's trying your faith. He tries your faith on the level that it exists. All right, let's tie this evidence together and get out of here. Watch. The devil tries your faith on the level that it exists. So if you have welterweight faith, he tries it on a welterweight level. Because God promised not to give you more than you can bear. So therefore, if your faith is welterweight, then that's where your trial is. How do you defeat the devil? You don't defeat the devil by staying at the welterweight level, because he's had over 10,000 years of dealing with people at that level. What you do is move up a level. You sit under the word of God until you become a light heavyweight. Then he can't use those tactics. You follow me? The people who fought Mike Tyson, they were in his weight class, but they did not have his ghetto. Mike Tyson did not win because he was a good boxer. Mike Tyson won because he was a thug. Mike fought street style in the ring and got paid for what he used to do in the neighborhood. Now, you know it's street when you bite somebody's ear. Millions of people watching, right? Mike bites the guy's ear. What is he saying? All right, listen carefully, because I know it seems wrong, but there's no fair fighting with the devil. See, you can't be prissy and sadiddy when you fight the devil. You got to be like Mike. Mike saw that this guy was messing with his game plan. He was making him look bad. He was just out of range of Mike's devastating uppercuts. So Mike bit him to slow him down so he could beat him. The reason why so many of us find ourselves victimized by the devil is because we're fighting with a very sadiddy set of rules. Praise the Lord, Mr. Devil. No, don't call him Mr. deflate him. You lying scalawag. You so dumb you couldn't even stay in heaven. You can't beat me. God threw you out. Matter of fact, God didn't even do it. Michael threw you out. God had Michael handle his light work. Then put me where you used to be. I know you're going to come at me with all you have, but greater is he that's in me. That's not for you, that's for me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, spiritual growth means you fight the fight of faith. If the devil hits you on level 7, move. Don't stay down there fighting. I'm going to make a stand. No, babe, I'm going. Where you going? Level 8. How you going to get there? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm going to keep listening to the word of God till my faith grows. And then when the devil slaps at you from level 7, it's just like a little fly. And you just kill it. Too many of us find our lives defeated because we try to fight with the devil on his terms. Jesus never did that. Never did that. Jesus never had to resist pride. When they wanted to make him king, he walked away. Jesus never had to ask an angel to protect him. Never did. When they picked up stones to stone him, he just walked away. Jesus didn't have to prove his manhood. Oh, you're going to stone me, right? Well, go ahead and try and watch what happened to you. I'm the anointed of God. Nope, Jesus just pulled his hood over his face and walked right out of the crowd. He was such a common-looking person, they didn't even know he was gone. We'll stand around arguing, yeah, 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 yeah. No, just walk away. See, grown folk, there's so, you know the reason why the Bible calls us to meekness? There's so much power in you that you literally can hurt a person. But you're not supposed to walk around hurting people. You're supposed to look at people as old with two broken arms and two broken legs in a wheelchair as they threaten to hurt you. With two broken arms and two broken legs in a wheelchair. And you look at them and say, what? I'm going to knock you down. Really? You can't even stand. Get on out of here. You look at the devil when he rears his ugly head and growls at you. You say, it is written. It is written, you've been defeated. It is written, my joy comes from the Lord. It is written that this light affliction is going to pass. It is written that nothing you can do to me will cause me to leave the Lord. What can separate me from the love of God? Famine, persecution, peril of sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9417P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.